Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Dave mentioned Coach Q coming up, and also Fitz after 7. What time's pregame for Northwestern again?
2 o'clock tomorrow.
Tough game.
We could start sooner if you like.
It's more convenient for me.
Okay.
I have a 4 o'clock show at Zanies. And then Dan Hampton later as well. You know, we like to talk about... Oh, and Amy Rutledge later. Our friend Amy Rutledge in Channel Anime.
He's got great stories for us.
We like to talk about folks doing good things, and we're happy to welcome the studio. Really, be honest. I mean, sit up straight. This is a big shot. We got a big shot in the room. David, did you know you're a big shot?
Not as big as I look.
David Cohen's here. David, correct me if I've got the title wrong, but Senior Executive Vice President, and you handle the diversity programs as well at Comcast, right?
That is correct.
Nice to see you.
Well, it's great to be in Chicago, and thanks for having me on the air.
You still a trustee at Penn?
I actually am.
Yeah.
Actually chair of the trustees at Penn.
So. How are things at the University of Pennsylvania?
University of Pennsylvania is doing great. Our football team's having a little bit of a tough year, but the school's doing great.
You could talk to Dave because, you know, Northwestern academically is a fine institution, as you know, as obviously
there
Penn is.
Lots of fine institutions in Chicago.
So we have to work on the recruiting at Penn, I suppose.
The football recruiting, you know, basketball program is pretty good. Actually, the football program has been pretty good, but this has been a tough year.
If I'm not mistaken, Mark DeRosa played for the Cubs. Wasn't he a quarterback at Penn?
I think that is correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Dave's head is filled with information that he can't use anywhere else but here.
It's the extent of my knowledge of Penn football.
I have to say, it is good to come to Chicago. You hear about the Bulls, and you realize that the Sixers are not the only team in the league struggling.
Exactly.
So it's really good to be here.
It's a little rough. Yeah, a little rough. Well, nice to have you here. What I wanted to discuss with you for a minute or two here is what you're doing as far as bridging the digital divide between folks that maybe don't have the same internet access as the rest of us, and how important it is, whether it's at home or at school.
Right. Well, we think that's an absolutely critical issue. Basically, a quarter of the people in America don't have internet access at home.
Is that right?
And it's, you know,
think about that. We all take it for granted.
Right. And some people say, well, that's like rural American and Indian reservations and things like that. Three quarters of those people, about 20 to 22%, live in cities like Chicago. They are disproportionately low income. They are disproportionately people of color. And that's where the major problem is in America. And so as a company, we've taken this issue on for the last 6 years. Actually, we announced the launch of this program in May 2011 right here in Chicago.
Right.
And over the last 6.5 years nationally, we've been able to connect 4 million low-income Americans to the internet at home, most of them for the first time in their lives, and almost 230,000 of them are low-income residents of the city of Chicago. And Chicago is the number one city in America for 6 years in a row in terms of connecting people to the internet under
That's
this
good
program.
To hear. Now, is it a priority-based thing where you want to get the schools set up first, or is it both equally important?
So I talk about what I call a continuum of connectivity.
Okay.
I mean, I look at my kids, and my kids had internet access at home. Mm-hmm. They could go to the Free Library of Philadelphia and get internet access. There were regional computing centers. And, of course, they had internet access at home. And I think every kid in the country deserves that same continuum of connectivity. So I try not to pick winners and losers. We support internet connectivity in the community in Chicago. We have a partnership with the Chicago Public Libraries to support that. We've worked with the mayor on computer connectivity in neighborhoods and in both city facilities
Sure.
and nonprofit facilities. But Internet Essentials is directed at getting people to get connected to the internet at home. So that signature program of Comcast is designed for that last step, if you will, in the continuum of connectivity.
And also, too, you have a program that basically teaches you. It's a literacy training program, which I can personally use all the time.
Right. Well, so believe me, so could I.
Right.
So a lot of people assume that the reason why low-income Americans are not connected to the internet is because of the cost.
Right.
And that is a factor. There's no doubt about it. There's a huge amount of research about this. But the number one barrier to internet adoption among that 25% of the population that doesn't have it is this bucket of digital literacy, digital relevance skills. The people don't know how to use the internet. They don't. They're afraid of the internet.
Well, it's like anything else. If you're not exposed to it or don't have access, how are you supposed to learn?
And they don't understand.
Now with smart TVs, too. Right.
And they don't understand the relevance of the internet to their lives. They don't understand that. They don't naturally understand that now their kids, to do their homework, need to have the internet. They don't understand that they can get access to health care. They don't understand they can get access to news, information, and entertainment, that that's how you look for a job and apply for a job. So we designed a program to get at all of the barriers of adoption, including this digital literacy barrier. And a major feature of that is a national program through our nonprofit partners to really bring digital literacy training into low-income communities in America.
So how is this being rolled out to the communities?
So the digital literacy is done primarily through nonprofit partners.
Okay.
So in Chicago,
the YMCA.
YMCA is a national partner.
Right.
Boys and Girls Club.
Right.
Chicago Public Libraries is a partner.
Then it's up to them then to let kids know and families it's available.
And we help promote. There's an Internet Essentials website, and you can go in and plug your zip code in, and it will tell you where the in-person digital literacy training programs are being offered closest to your zip code. And so over 6.5 years, we've committed over $350 million to these programs, and we have trained over 5 million low-income Americans, given them at least some exposure to internet training. And
Part of it, I mean, there has to be some sweat equity involved. You know, you can't take them along and just go, okay, here's what you do now, here's what you do next, here's what you do next.
Right.
You want to whet their appetite so they, in turn, develop more interest and they can help spread their own success and knowledge in their own communities.
Right. And the kids know more about this than their parents.
As always.
So we have a whole family approach here where we'll do that for a lot of this training is for adults. But what we have found is if we can get the internet into people's homes, the kids will tell their parents how to do it. Their parents will say, gee whiz, how do I do this? How do I do that? And the kids can help them.
I have this lasting image. My son's now 26, but I have this lasting image of Ross at the age of 5, maybe 4.
Yeah.
And this is in the 2.8 modem era of the mid-90s, right? That whole era. Mm-hmm. And just the blue light coming off the computer and his legs not reaching the floor and, you know, manipulating the mouse. And now my one and only perfect granddaughter, you know, seeing her flip through photos.
Isn't that
on the
cool?
phone. She's not even 2 years old.
And nobody and not having been taught that. They just go to whatever it is, the iPad, and just turn it on and start flipping.
Yeah, what about the device piece of this? Because
that's the third barrier.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's cost of the service, digital literacy, cost of the device. So part of the Internet Essentials program is that we significantly subsidize the cost of a laptop or a desktop for Internet Essentials eligible customers. And you can purchase one for under $150. We also have a number of nonprofit partners, which, you know, foundation partners who will give computers to people. And we have given ourselves thousands of computers to participants in the program. And in fact, without spilling the beans totally, we'll be giving a bunch of computers out today to some young people in Chicago.
Where are you going to announce that?
So we're doing this. We've got several places where we're going today, but we're going to a Chicago Public Library branch, to an elementary school. Those are both places where we'll be doing computer giveaways.
It'd be part of, you know, but you'll see a lot of this covered in the news later.
By the way, just to tout Chicago Public Libraries, by the way, which I know you
have
this
book you need to return that's way overdue.
Right, yeah, something like that. Yeah. But this is really one of the best public library systems in the country. 12 million people a year come through this branch. I think under the mayor's leadership and under CPL's leadership, they've been at the cutting edge of digital literacy and converting a library from returning a book to being able to use computers and have digital access to the libraries. There's a fantastic program at CPL, which we're very proud to support, that's called Cyber Navigators, which provides one-on-one and small group coaching around digital literacy in 75 branches of CPL. So one of the reasons we're convinced that Chicago leads the country in Internet Essentials signups is because there is this robust infrastructure in Chicago with nonprofit organizations and CPL for delivering digital literacy, digital relevance training to the residents of Chicago.
You know what it is? It's a continuum of connectivity.
Correct.
There you go.
Absolutely right.
You know, and I grew up near Cornell. It's a lot like being a trustee at Penn.
So similar.
Yes, absolutely similar.
I've told my mother a long time ago when she said you could go to Cornell, and I said, you can't just go. They have to let you in. You
right?
can't just start attending classes.
You could audit classes and see how quickly they throw you
out. That's kind of what I did.
Right?
Yeah.
I like the fact that for condo buildings and high-rises, too, now you're coupling the internet and the cable and lowering the price. And still, Steve, you can call Comcast and talk to a human being.
Well, I think that's a crucial part of the business, and, yeah. and it's maybe a separate track, but I know that you guys as a corporation have made a recommitment to customer service because that's the cliche that there is none. So I think it's an important part of what you guys do going forward.
We said a few years ago that we wanted, and I don't think any other cable company said this or is even trying to do it now, but that our goal was to make customer service the best product that we were offering. And we have to do that. I mean, we're operating in a very competitive environment, and our customers, quite frankly, pay us a lot of money, and they deserve to talk to a human being, they deserve to get good service, and one of the things I'm most excited about is, as we apply our technologists to this problem, is that we're developing all sorts of tools now that can actually help us to figure out when you're about to have a problem in your house. You may not even know it yet, but we can now predict that, and we can try and troubleshoot it before the problem even surfaces in the home. So that ultimately is the gold standard, to be able to address those problems before you have the need to call us.
I'm looking for a filter that keeps the Real Housewives of whatever city off my TV. Have you guys worked that out?
Yeah, we have another filter, which is no matter when you turn on your TV, you have the Real Housewives or Law and Order.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'll take Law and Order.
Either one of them. Both NBC shows, and therefore we like that.
Well done by you. Good luck at Penn, obviously, but thank you for the work you're doing, because I think it's like you. I believe in the importance of this and appreciate the amount of money that Comcast is spending towards it. So fine job by you guys.
Well, thanks for having us on. We appreciate the support. This helps us to promote the program and promote awareness of the program.
And have fun with those kids today.
I always do.
There you go. Nice to see you, David Cohen.